For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygen's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
So, good evening, everyone. My name is Laurel, and I get to do the talk tonight. Delighted and honored. And I brought 10 handouts, and there's 11 people. So that's perfect, because I think there's one couple in the room. Maybe that works out. Basically, I want to talk about walking tonight as a form of meditation practice. It's been something I've been thinking about a lot and doing some of. And Tygen's been talking about Dogen's Mountains and Water Sutra. So we've actually been talking about walking. But I think I'm going to talk about it in a pretty practical way. So it's basically, this talk is coming from my impulse to do more walking as part of what I do. And so like anything else, when you're figuring out a new way to practice, I think we've probably all explored many different ways to practice. And I know whenever I try something new, I have to do a lot of U-turns and dead ends. So I'm sort of in that process of figuring this out. So that's the spirit of this talk. So anyway, these are some of the walking topics I thought of, more or less from the most practical to the least practical. I'm not going to talk about all of those, but I've been thinking about all of these. So like dog walking, like chore walking, like walking to the store, walking as chores, walking as exercise for physical health. Walking as transportation, getting from point A to point B on foot. Walking as an explicit break from hassles, like walking to clear your head. Walking with another person, which is like an opportunity for intimate communication, sort of a special kind. Birding or some other kind of nature walking with a sort of a focused outcome in mind. Hiking or backpacking, like long distance walking in the wilderness. There is such a thing anymore. And then as spiritual practice, I'm going to call it just walking because we do just sitting. And we do kinhin, labyrinth walking. And then pilgrimage walking, so walking with a spiritual destination. And last, sort of the very other end of the exercise, ordeal walking, writing about some really quite extraordinary ordeal. So anyway, so we only have about 20 minutes, so I obviously am not going to talk about all these things, but so I just sort of want to talk about just walking as I'm trying to figure it out, and some of the longer walks, like pilgrimage walking. So anyway, I really like to walk. I'm a strong walker. I'm comfortable walking. I don't get uncomfortable unless I've really walked a really far away, so I feel like it's a really good way for me to be in my personal body. I've done some sort of long walks, and the only time I really get uncomfortable is if it's really high altitude or there's a lot of black flies around or something like that, or extreme temperature. But in the city, there's different challenges, sort of interesting. So there's this really hard pavement that's really rough on your feet and your knees. I've not tried barefoot walking in the city. It might be really unhealthy, but it might be interesting. But there's the pavement, there's traffic, there's noise, there's crime or perception of danger sometimes. It's sort of an interesting interesting set of challenges, weather. I found this great quote in Practice of the Wild, which is one of my favorite books, Gary Snyder. He says, walking is the great adventure, the first meditation, a practice of hardiness and soul primary to humankind. Walking is the exact balance between spirit and humility. So that pretty much sums up everything I could think of saying about walking. I mean, it's really quite wonderful. The great adventure, the first meditation, hardiness, and soul primary to humankind, and balance between spirit and humility. So I was thinking about this primary to humankind. So I think people, Homo sapiens, I think, I'm not an anthropologist, but I really think we are walkers. I mean, there was a relative of ours was called Homo erectus before Homo sapiens. I forget exactly how we're related, but I mean, it's all about us being standing up. And, you know, we emerged out of Africa and we walked to Spain and we walked to Java. These are immense distances that we walk. And it's only really, really recently that we sort of settled down in one place in agricultural society and then, you know, urban society. We walk to hunt. We walk to gather. I feel like we're built to walk. It's just a really... we stand up on these 2 feet. We have little dicey knees. I think evolution's got a little ways to go in our knees, but pretty much the rest of us is in pretty good shape. So, I mean, and so we wandered and we explored and we covered the whole globe by walking. That's a really attractive idea to me. I like thinking about people not having a concept of what the globe was. I mean, having whatever concept they had, but you know, not intending to walk to Spain because Spain wasn't a concept. Just walking, led by their feet and their hungry stomachs and whatever. So anyway, so there's that. So transportation. So I live about 4.5 miles west of here. So if I would walk here from my home, it would take me more than an hour. And it would take me more than an hour to go home, to get back home, and I would be here. And it would be a very different experience than if I took the bus or if I drove or even if I took a bike. I mean, because I would be much slower. And my senses, maybe not my sense of taste, but my sense of my sight, my hearing, my smell, my touch through my feet, would be very much more in direct connection with the environment. So it'd be a really different experience than being in the car where you're focused on driving, the other cars, the car radio, whatever, you know. And it would just be much, much slower. So it'd be different. And then, so I was telling this to someone and they said, but who has the time to get around by walking? That's a really good question. If you would walk everywhere, you really couldn't go for nearly as many places, right? But then I found this other great quote. It's not as good as Gary Snyder's, but it's really pretty good. He says, turns that upside down. He says, walking takes longer than any other known form of locomotion except crawling. Thus, it stretches time and prolongs life. Isn't that great? So life is already too short to waste on speed. God, I just love that so much. So so that's one thing I've been thinking about. So I have been doing more walking to the grocery store and walking. I haven't walked here yet, but I can. I mean, if I want to, if it doesn't. So if I leave work early enough. Anyway, so then I wanted to say the other end of that, I think walking, I've also experienced walking speeding me up. So one time, maybe 10 years ago or so, I was in a really long session, meditation retreat, up in Evanston, and I came out of it and walked out the front door, and I just could not get into a vehicle. It's like, it just, I just didn't want to do that. It just seemed, I don't know, I just didn't want to do it. So I just sort of walked toward home in Chicago, and sort of ended up walking all the way home, which is about 10 and a half miles. And by the time I got there, I felt like I was sort of back in the, whatever the speed of regular life was. It was like a transition time from the days of getting vulnerable and, you know, in meditation, getting opened up and quieted down and so forth. So it sort of did the opposite function of, so it sort of normalized me. It's sort of the way it can slow you down if you're too hectic and frantic. It seemed like it got me to the other direction. It seemed really great. I really like thinking about walking that way as a gets you at ease is the word that comes to mind. So anyway, so I've been trying to figure out the best way to do this just walking, which should be just walking, right? I mean, you're still walking. But, you know, if it's going to be a practice, then I'd figure it, I want to make a commitment to doing it, so I want to figure out. So this is what I'm doing. I'd love to talk about this when this talk is done, hear what other people think. But I've been sort of grazing the literature, and there's a lot of stuff that teaches or that sort of suggests ways to walk. So I've been doing it by time, not distance, and say, okay, I'm going to walk for an hour. And then I walk for half an hour, and then I turn around and I walk back. So that just gives me an hour without too much fuss and muss about where I'm going or what I'm doing, sort of just walk where my feet take me. And very similar to Zazen, pretty much starting out with my breath and maybe taking 3 steps per inhale and 3 steps per exhale, and then sort of letting go of too much counting after it feels like I'm sort of in a groove. And it sort of feels the same inside my head as sitting. You know, my mind wanders and then I come back and I, you know, sort of do sort of similar kinds of things on the pavement as on the cushion. I mean, it pretty much seems just as hard or just as easy as Zazen, except I'm moving instead of sitting. And honestly, I think one of the impulses for me for walking is that, you know, I'm getting older and my knees are hurting more and my back is hurting more and my... So when I'm doing this walking, I'm less, I don't know if the word distracted by pain. I'm more free of that, which seems like a plus. So anyway, so I did get some instructions from Thich Nhat Hanh on the internet. He says, walking meditation means to enjoy walking without any intention to arrive. We don't need to arrive anywhere. We just walk. We enjoy walking. Usually in our daily life, we walk because we want to go somewhere. Walking is only a means to an end, and that is why we do not enjoy every step we take. Walking meditation is different. Walking is only for walking. You enjoy every step you take. So this is a kind of revolution in walking. You allow yourself to enjoy every step you take. Every step is nourishing and healing. As we walk, imprint our gratitude and our love on the earth. We may like to use a gata as we walk, taking two or three steps for each in-breath and each out-breath. Breathing in, I have arrived. Breathing out, I am home. Breathing in the here. Breathing out, in the now. Breathing in, I am solid. Breathing out, I am free. Breathing in the ultimate. Breathing out, I dwell. So I haven't tried any of those particular ones. They seem good. I particularly like I am solid, I am free. I am solid. But anyway, I might try those. I thought those were great. But anyway, I offer them as ideas to you. What I have tried, I sing in a choir, and we have this thing we sing that's a Navajo walking meditation. And so sometimes I sing in my head, with beauty right before me, may I walk. With beauty right behind me, may I walk. With beauty right above me, may I walk. With beauty right below me, may I walk. With beauty all around me, may I walk. Wandering on the trail of beauty, may I walk. And that's particularly nice to do that in a city where sometimes things, you have to be reminded of the beauty in some of them. So anyway, I did want to talk a little bit about long distance walking, which would be different from this going out every day for an hour or whatever number of days. I have done some backpacking. I think that actually the day has passed when I'm going to go out on a trail with a 60-pound pack on my back, although, you know, it's a really wonderful thing to do. What I'm actually thinking of is a long walk where I would just carry some money, and that's spiritual sounding, and I would sleep in a bed, but I would get up every day and walk, and wherever my feet took me, and it would be a long day of walking, whatever number of hours, 8 hours, I don't know, to see how it works out. And do that, you know, obviously you can't do that in the Canadian Rockies because there isn't a bed every 10 miles or whatever you could cover in a day. I mean, might be able to do that in Europe along, you know, one time I hiked the Northern Highland Way in Scotland and there's bed and breakfast like every 100 yards practically. My image of this, I mean, I shouldn't try to imagine it, I should do it to find out what it is, but an image of why I want to do it is a lot like a long meditation retreat, you know, that it just takes a long time to get emptied out and you know, I don't have good language for that. I guess I'll say quiet. So the last thing I wanted to tell you about is this thing that I didn't know about, and maybe you do know about. It's this thing called Shinichi Kaihogyo. Does it ring any bells with anyone? It is a 1,000 days of walking meditation and prayers over a 7-year period. This monk that I read about, Endo Mitsunaga, finished this 2 years ago or so. He walked 26 miles a day for periods of either 100 or 200 consecutive days. I didn't quite understand what that meant. I guess some periods were 100 days and some 200. Anyway, it was the equivalent of a trip around the earth. And This was an article in some regular news, periodical. It wasn't from, a Zen publication, but it was sort of focusing on the extremeness of this. It's pretty extreme, but. And it wasn't suggesting that everybody would do it. I mean, it was actually focusing on this is something that people do, like marathons, was sort of the tone of the article. Think about it. It's 1,000 days of walking. That's 3 years or something. Anyway, that is pretty much what I wanted to share with you. I remember about a month ago, Hovetsu did a talk about bicycles, and it was my favorite thing about that talk was that everybody could relate to it, and pretty much everyone in the room had a bicycle story to share with her. And I thought, well, if I talk about walking, everyone in the room has walked, I bet. And so there might be people that would want to share their thoughts in a conversation about it. And because the internet is so amazing and so many people have written so many things about walking, I made these handouts that just quote all kinds of people, some of whom we don't usually quote here, like Nietzsche, and some of whom we often quote here. But anyway, so thank you very much.
Question for you.
Okay.
When you went on that retreat in Evanston, how long were you? How long was that retreat?
I think it was a week.
Yeah. I had a week session up in Hokkyoji for the Great Sky session, and it's kind of like the opposite. It's kind of funny. You spend your week, you get to day 3 or 4, and things start to kind of settle down. It's nice. But we were all the way up in Minnesota. So at the end of that session, it was time to go home. And, it's right in the car from the end. You gotta rip the bandaid off right away. And it's kind of cool because you...
I just, poured yourself a beer and you were all there.
Yeah. So, you get to... You sit in that session, for me, I realized, there is no... My thing in that session, lucky me, was, it's like there is no bad zazen. And then I get in the car and I'm like, well, here we go. Let's do it. And you get all these queasy feelings of having this rushy world. And you get to Chicago and there's bright lights.
Yeah, that's great.
It's really cool.
Right, the lights look brighter. It's
like, yeah.
Were these lights bright before?
Right.
It's funny, the very first time I ever did a session, the teacher said, do you have any, in my last Doksan, do you have any advice for me going out in the world? He said, don't see any horror movies in the next day or two. And I thought, I'll never see horror movies. That was such a funny piece of advice. I'll never forget it. Anyway, I sort of know what he meant. Just stay away from intense stimulation. anyway. Will, you're the only person that we can see on the other side of the altar because you're tall enough. It's so great. Usually when someone sits there, no one can see them.
It's good to see you. thank you for your talk. That really resonated with me. And one thing that came to mind when you're talking about how different it would feel for you to walk here and be more connected with the outside was the place where I started practicing in California. We'd sit early in the morning, and then after we'd sit... everyone would go to Starbucks. It was a block and a half away, and the teacher would almost always come to, and it's just kind of called it second sitting. And I started practicing because I lived across the street from the meditation center, and so I would walk to the meditation center, and then I would walk to Starbucks because it was a block and a half away. And then I moved a few miles away, and so I started driving to the meditation center, and then I would drive to Starbucks, and I was shocked at how different it felt.
Huh.
And I found that when you get in a car, you're sort of it's almost like on Star Trek, you're getting in a teleporter and you go in this little bubble, and you open the door, and magically you're in a new place. And then when it's time to go to the next place, you sort of close the door again. And it taught me a lot, and I really have tried to walk more since then. So thank you.
Thank you.
So I grew up with, I've always remembered my mom walking. She walks every day. Yeah, just every day. Every day. Like at some stupid hour in the morning. Like, and, you know, she walks so much, like, it doesn't even get her heart rate up anymore. You know, she has to, like, run to do that or something. But she, like, you know, she knows, like, all the seasons. It's like her form of it. It is, like, her form of, you know, that's it for her. It's like, I'm like, Mom, why don't you go, you know, my dad's into meditation. And I'm like, why, Mom, why'd you get into this? You know, it's cool. And she does this walking. You know, and I never really got it, you know, but when you listen to her talk about each season and the animals and, like how clear that is to her, like, when she gets out there, because they do live in the woods. So, you know, when she walks, she's out there. And so you can just hear the clarity, but you know, so I grew up like going on walks with her, and you know, it's interesting now, like when I go out for walks, like I never knew, like once I got into the city, into urban living, like it's just such a different experience, and like just like with the traffic and like not in trees, but there's still so much like around, and you can still kind of get into a space and a rhythm. Even though, you know, and so it's really not like that bad. You can get out and start going. And I do a lot of stroller walking.
A lot of stroller walking. And I didn't have that on my list.
Yeah, and so that's, and I love it. And I can't wait till that time of the day. Okay, it's time to go up there with Brandon, you know. It's really an important time, because that is that time to kind of just do it. It is like a form of meditation. And I think part of that is just like growing up with it, and so always having that as part of, you know, being part of my brain and so my person. So anyhow, I appreciate your talk. That's great.
So it was a wonderful talk. I have a dog, and so I walk the dog twice a day, the exact same route. Mm-hmm. Every day, pretty much. And like what Dawn was saying, it's an interesting, I have to remind myself sort of to pay attention, because sometimes it's a chore, but it's also an interesting way to sort of see all these changes in the park. Mm-hmm. And the dog will always remind me, and I have to remind myself, so she'll stop and sniff stuff, and usually I'm like, oh, hurry up, it's cold outside. But it reminds me to, like, she is noticing and smelling all of these things that are changing and all this information. And it's a reminder to me to also sort of stop and sniff and pay attention. And it makes me think. So as humans, we evolved. One of our evolutionary advantages was to be able to walk and probably to jog long distances. And it allowed us to exploit a much larger ecological niche than a lot of other primates.
Mm-hmm.
And no doubt, as we did that, our cognitive skills and our brains were also evolving.
Mm-hmm.
To pay attention and to distinguish things and to notice things and to notice patterns. So it makes me think that walking and paying attention to your mind is something that we have always done. It's kind of like Buddha nature. It's something that's there that is, you know, we maybe forget about it, but it's there, and that's sort of what humans are.
It's interesting if you read some of these quotes, so many of the people say things like, It's where they do their creative thinking. It's like they're getting somewhere else in their head. And I think dog walkers are really amazing. My brother moved to Oak Park about 10 years ago or so, and he didn't know anyone there, but he had a dog. And that's how he met everyone in the whole neighborhood, at least all the people that have dogs. And he still talks about that as his introduction to Oak Park. I don't have a watch. Is it time?
I was going to say something really quick to add.
Oh, sure.
I had heard a study not too long ago that they were looking at different cultures and rates of Alzheimer's, and they found that these cultures, like India was a good example, because in India they have a lot of more active older people that walk a lot, and they found that perhaps there's a correlation between walking and Alzheimer's, whereas Alzheimer's was a much lower rate amongst more walking active people. It's kind of cool to see that. Just
thank you, everyone.